morning and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 29. Proverbs, chapter number 29. A card was given to me just a moment ago, and I'd like to read it before I forget. It says, "With special thanks, for you're among the nicest people I've ever known, and you'll never be forgotten for the thoughtfulness you have shown. Thanks for everything." We just want to thank you, everyone, for the prayers, Bibles, food, cards, visits you made to our daughter, and everyone who helped with Shannon's service. God bless you all. Of course, that's from Brother Jerry, Juanita, and Chris Souther. We're still praying for them. We love you, Brother Jerry, Miss Souther, and we're asking the Lord to continue to comfort you during this time. Proverbs chapter number 29. The book of Proverbs, it is a book of wisdom. Written, we know it was penned by King Solomon, the wisest of all. The Bible tells us that Solomon, his wisdom excelled. His wisdom exceeded. His wisdom was greater. His wisdom was higher than all the children of the East and of all the wisdom of Egypt. We know Solomon, he was the wisest of all. And here the Holy Ghost uses Solomon, this great wise man, to give us the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is just a short, to-the-point sentences that was drawn from a lifelong experience. We see that this morning. If I had to give one key verse of the book of Proverbs, one verse to sum up this great book, one verse that describes the book of Proverbs, it would have to be Proverbs chapter number 1, verse number 7, where the Bible says, "Fear the Lord is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The book, Proverbs, a book of instruction for you and I to read, for you and I to understand, for you and I to glean from and to take heed. Proverbs chapter 29, one verse. Verse number 1. "He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." It's a sad verse. It's a troubling verse. It's a sobering verse, and it's a verse I pray that the Lord would lay on our hearts this morning, that we would be obedient to the Lord, that we would listen to Him as He does reprove, as He does speak, as He does draw. I've never been to the Niagara River. I've never seen the Niagara Falls. They tell me that the beauty that the falls display, the magnitude, the power that you see as the water rushes over the cliff, the wonder of all the that's magnitude and goes on there at Niagara Falls. But they tell me above that, those falls, the Niagara River, it's a calm, it's a smooth, it's a serene river. But 3.2 miles before the falls, there's a sign that reads, "Danger zone." A danger zone where the current begins to pick up. The rapids and the water is more treacherous. They say water at that time will begin to flow up to 70 miles an hour. The waters are treacherous. And just a short time after that sign that reads danger zone, there's another sign. There is a warning for all those to take heed. And that sign reads, "The point of no return." Once you cross that point, once you get beyond that sign, it doesn't matter your effort. It doesn't matter your intention. It doesn't matter the mind or how hard you try, the size of the motor in the boat. Once you get past the point of that sign of no return, gravity, physics, the power and the magnitude of the river will take over. I'm preaching on the thought this morning, the point of no return. Proverbs chapter number 1, we've already read. "He that being often reproved, harden his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Can a man pass spiritually the point of no return? Can a man, can a woman, can a young person pass the point where they are willfully stubbornly, arrogantly rebelling against God, where God will give up on them. It's a sobering, it's a frightening thought this morning that there may be some among us that are in the danger zone, headed to the point of no return. A point where God says in mercy and in grace, in love and in tender mercies, in patience and in long suffering, in kindness and compassion and care, I have reproved, I have spoken, I have pleaded, I have urged, but no more. You say, preacher, this morning my Bible tells me that God is a God of love. God is a God of infinite love, and He is. But He's also a just God. He's a God of judgment, and He's a God of wrath. There is a time I know not when. There is a place I know not where that line is drawn, and God says no more. That line man cannot see, where that separates God's mercy and God's wrath. That once that man, that woman, that young person crosses their line, there is a point of no return, a point without remedy, a point without hope, a stage in one's life, a moment in one's life, a time in one's life, which is no longer possible for you to stop what you're doing, repent of your sins, confess your sins, for the effects of those sins are no longer to be avoided. Just a few thoughts this morning, sobering thoughts that I pray that God would lay on our hearts. God would stir our soul, and God would be heavy on our mind. The Bible says, He that being often reproved, God often reproves, He often convicts, He often speaks, He often, much, many times, often speaks to our soul. No one this morning, let me say no one this morning under the sound of my voice, will go to hell unloved, unwarned, unreproved, unconvicted, He being often reproved. God does strive with us. God Himself, He speaks to us. He summons us. He seeks us often, many, much, so much. And it would be a glorious thing. It would be a wonderful thing, a marvelous thing, for the God of all heaven, He would speak to us just one time. But over and over and over and over again, God reproves us often, many, and much times. God the Holy Ghost, He speaks, He convicts, He draws, He summons us at moments and times of our life when it's least unexpected, but ever so strongly, ever so gently, and ever so faithfully. And I pray that my prayer is this morning, if He's speaking to you, if He's reproving you, if He's drawing you, that you would listen to Him, you would be obedient to Him, and you would respond to Him. The Bible says that He is often reproved. So how does God speak? How does God speak to us? And when does God speak to us? I will say, number one, many times He speaks to us through sickness. In times of sickness. Times of weakness. Of times of infirmities. Times when our bodies begin to break down. Have you ever been to the doctor? Had a bad report? Had the bad news? At those times God does. And God does speak. Listen to what the psalmist, David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, says in Psalms 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, before I was troubled, before I was weakened, before I was bowed down, before I was sick, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept Thy word. What is sickness? Sickness comes to our bodies. I believe this morning it's a message of God that tells us that we are mortal, that we are not going to be on this earth forever. Our bodies are breaking down, and we're going to die. Everyone this morning has some kind of sickness, some form of sickness. I look around, and many of you are wearing glasses. That's your body telling you that your eyes are sick. Your eyes can't see like they ought to. Some of you have back, joint, knee problems. That's your body telling you your bones are sick. I woke up this morning, I looked in the mirror, and my scalp, it seems like it's beginning to get sick. My hair is beginning to raise higher and higher and higher. Every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, has some kind of sickness. Some may get better, Some may be a bit worse. But we all have some sort of sickness. And it's God's way telling us that we will not be here forever, that we are dying and we are immortal. But not only does God speak through us through sickness, let me say He'll speak many times through sorrows. Through sorrows of life. Through the sorrows and the troubles and trials of life, God speaks to the saints. He comforts the saints. He encourages the brethren. He strengthens the saved. He helps the redeemed. But yet He'll reprove, He'll speak, and convict the lost. The saddest thing, Pastor, the most troubling thing, the most sobering thing I ever conduct at a funeral are those funerals that I know. Those family members are looking at that one they love so dearly for the last time, never to see them again. But if you're redeemed this morning, you have hope. Paul, no wonder Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, a church that was going through so many troubles, so many sorrows, so much sickness. He said, I would have not be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not. You're going to sorrow, you're going to mourn, you're going to have heartache and troubled over the ones you lost, even as others which have no hope. Times of sorrow. Times of sickness. Times of sadness. God speaks. Let me say this morning, He speaks also in His sweetness. In His goodness, He speaks to us. I believe we all can say this morning that God's been good to us. I mean, He's blessed us. We come to the house of God with clothes on our back, with shoes on our feet, food on our stomach. We had a roof over our head last night, a mind to think, air to breathe. We live in a country where we can exercise freedom. He's been good to us. We ought to thank Him for those temporal blessings. But if you're saved this morning, you can thank Him for the spiritual blessings, for those eternal blessings. Your sins are forgiven. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your iniquity is past. You've been brought from death into life. You've been brought from light to darkness. You have a home in heaven, joy in your soul, peace in your heart. You can thank Him for those. God's goodness is given and speaks to the just and the unjust. Paul told Romans, that church of Rome, he said, not knowing the goodness of God leadeth thee to salvation. There's millions and millions of reasons this morning you ought to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. But if you just want one reason, you ought to follow after David's example. David said in Psalms 116, verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? He's saying, God, how can I pay You back? God, how can I give back to You for all Your goodness, all Your benefits, all Your blessings, all the great things You've given me? He says, I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. David got to the point. He said, my God's been so good to me. God's blessed me. God's been so sweet to me. God's given and given and given time and time again. I think I'm just going to give my heart and life to Jesus Christ. He speaks to us in times of sadness. He speaks to us in times of sweetness. I began to think about this past Friday evening. I'm over at the church. And it's about 6 o'clock. My phone rings and I answer the phone and it's Drew, my oldest daughter's boyfriend. And I answer the phone and this is the first words out of Drew's mouth. He said, Mr. Davis, Anaya wasn't involved. My anger level immediately went from 0 to 100. Because when I think of not involved, I think of not involved in criminal activity. Not involved in committing a crime. Not involved in going to jail. I thought to myself, dear Lord, Drew, what did You do this time? He said, Mr. Davis, Naya wasn't involved, but I've been in a car wreck. I said, where's Anaya? He said, she's shopping. I said, are you okay? He said, yeah, I'm a little shook up. I said, where you at, Drew? He told me. I said, I'll be right there. I left the church in a hurry. I travel up 25. He's up there at Walgreens at the corner of 25 and Airport Road. They're taking one of the passengers of the other car in a stretcher to the hospital. They're taking the other driver. He's in the ambulance going to the hospital. There's Drew. He's standing in the middle of the intersection speaking and talking to the cops and the paramedics and all the emergency crew. And on the record, it wasn't Drew's fault. He was driving and the car ran a red light, hit him, T-boned. Car was all underneath his truck, about 50 miles an hour. They take Drew's truck and haul it away, take the other car and haul it off. Me and Drew's driving back home. And I began to think about the sweetness and the goodness of God. You see, this morning our family, our church family, could be gathered around the hospital bed praying that God would touch his body. His family could be down at the funeral home making arrangements to bury Drew. But still, a different point of impact, a different angle of impact, could have been a much different story. But Drew's in the house of God, safe and secure. And I said that to say that this morning. In the accidents of life, in the hardships of life, in the trials of life, God is still good to you and I. He speaks through His goodness. He speaks through the time of sadness. He speaks through sickness. He speaks through His sweetness. He speaks. He speaks. I don't know everyone here personally this morning. I don't know you on an intimate, personal level. But there's one thing I know. One thing I know. God has reproved. He's spoken. He's convicted. He's drawn. He summons you over and over and over again. He reproves us. He loves us too much to let us go to hell without being warned, without being reproved, without being convicted, without being spoken to. It's called conviction. It's called spiritual conviction. Brother Randy, I love that song you and the choir sing. I'm glad I got lost so I could get saved. Under conviction, weary of sin, that was my only way. That's God speaking. That's God reproving. That's God drawing to know that I needed the Lamb's blood applied. I'm glad I got lost so I could be found one glorious night. We see in our text this morning, spiritual conviction, often reproved, often spoken to, many times God dealing with you and I. But also see in our text, stubborn rebellion. The Bible says, he that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck. He, the man, the woman, the young child, the person that God speaks to, hardens his neck. Bows up. Rebels. Says no. Resist. Through the book of Exodus, time and time again, God calls the children of Israel, the Hebrews, stiff-necked. They refused. They rebelled. They did not heed. They did not follow. They did not listen to God nor Moses. How do we harden our neck? How do we harden our neck? How do we stiffen our neck? Look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 1. We're right there. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I want to say, number one, we stiffen our neck. We harden our neck by procrastination. God speaks. God reproves over and over and over again. And we'll say one of these days, well, I'll wait. I'll wait where it's a more convenient time. I'll wait when I'm older. I'll wait and get right with God and give my heart to Jesus Christ. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll wait for another day. You know the story of Pharaoh. God says he's going to bring his people out of Egypt, and Pharaoh's not going to have any of it. God sends plague after plague after plague. Pharaoh's heart is hardened and hardened. So God sends a plague of frogs. Frogs that come up from the Nile River. Frogs that are everywhere. Frogs that cover the land. All he could see, all he could hear was frogs. Can you imagine at night the sound of these croaking, singing frogs? Pharaoh had enough. He couldn't take the sight, the sound, the smell of all these frogs that cover the land. Listen to, you don't have to turn, but listen to Exodus chapter number 8, verse number 8. It says, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they might do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee, for thy servants, for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? Pharaoh said, Moses, I've had enough. The frogs are too much. I can't stand the sight and the sound and the smell. Ask your God, entreat the Lord to remove these frogs. Moses said, well, that's great. He said, I'll pray and God will do it. When do you want me to do it, Pharaoh? The next verse says, this is Pharaoh, and he said, tomorrow. That amazes me. The sight and the sound and the smell and the covering of all these frogs, the Lord will take it from him. When do you want me to pray, Pharaoh? I understand you can't stand the frogs any longer. When do you want God to remove the frogs? Tomorrow. There's some here this morning. Sorrow. You have no joy. You have no peace. You have no hope. You have no assurance, in despair. And you're sailing through life on a whim. And I say to you, make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. And do you want to? And you say yes. And I say when? And you say tomorrow. Procrastination. It will harden his neck. Let me say, it'll also harden his neck through procrastination, but he'll harden his neck through pride. God speaking. He's speaking this morning. He's reproving. He's drawing. He's convicting. And you say, but everybody's watching. What will people think? What will people think of me? I'll humiliate myself. What about my reputation? The Bible tells us that pride goeth before destruction. One preacher said, pride will escort you to hell with chains forged on the anvil of a hard heart. Pride. Pride will harden one's neck. Procrastination will harden one's neck. Let me say, the pleasures of this life will harden one's neck. Timothy warned us in 2 Timothy. He said, these that are lovers of pleasures more than the lovers of God. You say, preacher, this morning, I'd love to come to Jesus, but look what I'd have to give up. It's not about what you'll have to give up. It's about all that you'll gain. The you'll gain and all that you'll inherit. All that Christ will give. I love that song, I traded for riches. The rags of my soul, I gave him the pieces, and he made me whole. I brought to him nothing, and he gave me everything. He found a beggar, and I found a king. It's not about what you'll give up this morning. It's what you'll gain. I believe that, Pastor, God has blessed our country so greatly. From sea to shining sea, He's blessed our Baptist churches over and over again with plenty, with prosperity, with the pleasures and the desires of our hearts, with safety and with substance, with fortune and finances and food. And those things have dethroned God in our hearts, and now they are the king of our life. The lovers of pleasures more than lovers of men, or lovers of more than lovers of God. Harden his neck. God's reproving. God's speaking, God's drawing, God's compelling, but one hardens his neck through procrastination, through pride, and through the pleasures of this world. We also see in our text, there's spiritual conviction. God's speaking, God's drawing. Man hardens his neck, there's stubborn rebellion, but notice this sudden destruction. The Bible says, he that being often reproved, convicted, hardened his neck, stubborn rebellion, shall suddenly be destroyed. The Bible teaches us that we can insult God. We can reject God and rebel against God, and many times where the Holy Ghost will stop dealing with us. Sudden destruction. Being suddenly destroyed. I believe there's three ways God does this. Number one, through our mind. Through our mind. Three times in Romans chapter number one, God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them over. For they love the pleasures, the sin more than they love God. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 3, before the flood, God said, My spirit will not always strive with men. We talked about last Sunday night in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, how here's truth. Truth is being presented. Truth is being given. Jesus Christ, the gospel, and here's sin. One turns from the truth. One rebels against the truth. One rejects Christ and goes and carries their sin. And God gives them a strong delusion. A strong delusion. Where the Bible says that, and for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that all might be damned, and who believeth not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God gives them over to a reprobate mind. Destroys the mind. They'll leave destroyed, believing a strong lie, a strong delusion. But He also can destroy the spirit through desertion, through leaving. God, He'll not always bring conviction to the one that rejects Him. Unless the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Ghost, convicts us and draws us, there will never, no never, be salvation. Isaiah chapter 55, the Bible says, Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. It indicates there's a time where you can't find Him. Indicates there's a time where He will not be near. He will not be reproving. He will not be speaking. Our mind destroyed through strong delusion. Our spirit destroyed through desertion. Let me say lastly, our body destroyed through death. The Bible says there's but a step between me and death. Every one of us this morning is one heartbeat, one breath, one step away from death. It's sudden destruction. He that often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Eternity is not a million miles away. Eternity is right here in front of us, one heartbeat away. Spiritual conviction. God's drawing. He's speaking this morning. We see this stubborn rebellion. A man hardens his neck. We see there's sudden destruction. But lastly, we see there's a secure destiny. The Bible says, and that without remedy. Sad. No hope. No cure. No healing. No remedy. The Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Let me say, there will be no second chances. There will be no do-overs. There will be no second opportunities. God told me this morning, this simple message. He told me this morning that Jesus Christ loves you. Some of you may be in the danger zone, approaching that point of no return. You're rebelling against God. God's spoken to you time and time and time again. Yet for whatever reason, you're rebelling and you say no. There's sudden destruction, and there will be a secure destiny if you keep rebelling. Let us all stand this morning. Misty, if you'll come to the pen and help me out. A little odd altar call this morning. But if you're here this morning and you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that you're redeemed, God's spoken to you, you've called upon His name, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're here and you know without a shadow of a doubt, I'd like to ask those who would come to the altar and pray. I believe there's some in our midst that are in the danger zone. There's some that come to our church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night that are approaching the point of no return. It troubled me. It burdened me this morning that there may be some here that's approaching that point that are stiffening their neck and are saying no to God. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know the free pardon of sin. You've never been saved. You have never, no, never called upon Christ while He's reproving, while He's convicting. You say, preacher, if I was to die this morning and I don't know for the surety that I would spend life, eternity in heaven, would you raise your hand? Father, this morning, we want to thank You for Your blessings. We want to thank You for Your mercy, for Your grace. God, I pray this morning, Lord, if there's any amount around under the sound of my voice on the internet or in the sanctuary, Lord, You'd open their eyes. You let them see the error of their ways. Lord, we realize and we know that You will reprove. You do convict. And God, I pray this morning, You would help that one see their need of salvation. Father, let them submit and surrender. And God, I pray that You'd hear the prayers of Your people, the remnant, the saved, the redeemed. Lord, give us a burden. Give us a desire. Father, give us the will to go out and tell a lost and dying world that Jesus saves. Father, there's many in our family. There's many of our co-workers and peers, family and friends that are in this danger zone. Help us, God. Help us sound the warning. Help them heed the call. Lord, I pray that Your will would be done. You came to seek and to save those which are lost. God, we need Your help. Father, I pray that You would stir and You'd convict. And Lord, that You'd have Your way. We bless Your sweet holy name. Thank You for this time around the Word of God. Thank You for these people here at church. And Lord, I just pray that You would send salvation our way. God, You'd stir us and trouble us. Help us, God, see the need to proclaim the gospel. We bless Your sweet holy name. We thank You for Your sweetness. We thank You for Your goodness. Father, we want to even thank You for the trials and the troubles of life. For we know that You're in our midst. You're there. You're speaking. You're giving comfort. We bless Your sweet holy name, Lord. We ask these things in the name that's above every name. Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Savior. Amen.
Sometime midweek, maybe late in the week, Lord had me call Brother Gunn, and I guess I texted him and said, "Will you preach Sunday morning?" He had a message. I didn't know what it was, but I knew he had the message. Wasn't it wonderful that just tells it like it is? And many of you here, he knew, God knew who would be here to hear that message. And if you harden your neck, the Bible says it's without remedy. You don't have to leave. Don't wait until tomorrow or next week. We may not have it. And even if we did have another day, you do not know that God will speak again. That's sad. We have so much to pray for. Our nation. Many people are hurting. Go ahead, sister.
Minding the Lord if I didn't share a little bit of my testimony. on February 11, 2001, in the old sanctuary, J. Harold Smith was here preaching. He preached God's three deadlines. And I had struggled for a long time on if I was truly saved or not. But he, J. Harold Smith, pointed at me and he said, "You keep coming up here rededicating and rededicating when really you just need to get saved." And at that very moment, the Holy Ghost said, "You're lost." And it was so clear, and just, I felt like if I did not get up, that I was literally going to die. And I just want to tell you here this morning that if you're sitting here and the Holy Ghost has told you that you're lost, please don't leave here. It's better than good. There's nothing this world offers that's as good as Jesus. And I just want to tell you that He loves you more than you can ever imagine. And I just thank Him for saving me.
Thank you, Sister Natalie. So well put. And many people rededicate. Maybe I've sinned. I've done some things out, and I wasn't reared like that, but I've been sinning. I'll rededicate my life. If she just spoke, many people are like that. You've got to get saved to rededicate. Rededicating lostness is vanity. Thank you, Sister. You may be here just like that. You may be here, and you've never asked the Lord to save you. God knew all that, and knew you'd be here. You've heard a message. You know me, I've been around a little while. I don't normally give extended invitations. But if God speaks, I will, and He has spoken. Everyone stand. Everyone stand.
My dad died a few years ago, and he wasn't saved. My dad was a stubborn man. And I look back, and I see many, many opportunities. People that the Lord's brought into my dad's life and talked to him. A Baptist preacher moved in down the road, and Dad says, "Well, you know, he's had all this schooling and training. I'll go talk to him." And he went, spent many days talking to him. My dad got dementia. And I thought, well, maybe he needs to get back to the childlike mind to really see the childlike faith that we need. It didn't happen. He just got to the point where he didn't know anybody. But I think it's because of that stubbornness. He just kept refusing. Don't be like that. If you're stubborn, if you've got that stubborn nature, don't cling to it when the Lord speaks to you. Don't let that time go by, as the scripture says this morning. Don't be stubborn. Come to the Lord. Accept Him before it's too late. Don't put it off till tomorrow. There may not be a tomorrow. Don't spend eternity in hell because you've been so stubborn.
Sister. Amen. The extended invitation is now. You bow your head. In a few minutes, most of us probably be leaving here. But your whole future perhaps depends upon the next few minutes what you do with Christ. Heaven, if you'll repent, if you're lost. If you don't, you may never have another chance. I don't preach scaredness, but the gun didn't either. Just preach the Word of God. It's reality. God convicts. I know someone that came to my house two times, two different people. And they said they were lost. I said, "Well, good, now that you're lost, get saved." They said, "You don't understand. When I was a teenager, God came to me, and I said no, And don't speak to me anymore. It's pride, because I don't want my classmates, my friends, to see me like this. And all these years, God's left me alone, and I go to church every Sunday, and every time it's open, He won't speak anymore. It's reality. Could be you. Oh, God, it could be you. We've got so much to pray for. Got some names mentioned, and while I'm reading these names, if God spoke to your heart, please come to the altar and get saved. Johnny Mullins, David Livingston, Wayne Guerin, Harold Kirkendall, a few and many others that need the touch of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we beseech you, Lord. The word of God has been preached, proclaimed, anointed. The Holy Ghost has spoken to hearts. You've done your job. One thing's lacking. Obedience to those people that should move right now, whatever it is. No one can do any more. The Holy Ghost convicts, and Jesus says that we must respond. The blood has been shed. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Without the application of that blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. When you died, the blood's available. Your mercy is extended. Lord, I pray for obedient hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, mine's clear this morning. Service tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll have a baptism after the service. If you've been saved and never baptized, Bible says you need to be baptized. See myself, Brother Gunn, anyone on the outreach committee about the baptism, and it will follow the service tonight. Oh, my gosh, Claire. Brother Roger, come up here, please. It misses. The Lord for all the visitors here this morning. We appreciate you being here.
Father, we've heard your word preached this morning. Strength and power. Father, we don't understand, Lord, why this altar's not full of those get their hearts right, those finding a saving interest in our Christ today. Sweet Spirit of God, I pray that you continue your work in these your people. Father, those, Father, who need to find a saving knowledge of our Lord this day. Father, I pray that you not let them sleep today. No naps today. Father, I pray that you drive the hunger from their stomachs, Father. Put that hunger in their heart, Father, to be a part of the kingdom of God. Be a part of the Blessed Savior's church. Father, we ask these things that it would glorify Christ, that it would honor Him. Father, that it would add to your church. Father, we give you the glory, the praise, the honor, the thanksgiving. All praise to you. We ask in our blessed Lord's name. Amen.